Appreciate y'all tolerating us, and on Sunday nights after service we sit and pick and play sometimes. And like I said, it's all about giving glory to God. We have a good time, enjoy. Boy, that made a lot of racket, didn't it? I wake y'all up that after 5 you go to sleep. But good to see everybody come this way. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And great songs that we sing. You know, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. And I think about the leadership of God a lot during my life. Without it, I'm not going. I'd be like Moses, you know, when they come across the wilderness, and he said, God, if you don't lead us, I'm not going. And I think about that so many times. And the leadership and the power we need from God each and every day. You know, we're in a world, if you just get to looking, just focusing around us close and in our nation, it's just a time of problems and troubles. And, you know, and you turn on the news and all you hear is gloom and doom, you know, each and every time you turn the news on. And I've got so I don't even turn the news on except I want to see the weather forecast. You know, I don't care about the news. I want to see the weather forecast so I can plan tomorrow, you know, and plan what I'm going to do and kind of make some few plans. And I thought about the forecast that God gave many, many years ago. Children of Israel suffering, you know, they having a hard time. Everybody's at war with them. I mean, everybody hated them. Nobody liked them. You know, anywhere they went, there was a war, there was a battle. And it was because they worship and praise the Almighty God. And that was a different thing. And I think about today, you know, that's different for a lot of people this day and time also, that when we truly begin to worship and praise an Almighty God, and when we truly start trying to follow the leadership and guidance of God in this country, in this life, you know, there comes problems. So when I thought about the children of Israel and the problems they were going through, and, you know, it had to be a depressing time for them. And I see that today, you know, that if we look around, it seems like a lot of people have to deal with this depression and that depression and a lot of depression going on. I think God saw that too. I want to look at Old Testament just for a little while in the book of Isaiah. And I want to talk to you about when God saw His children discouraged, when He saw His children disappointed, when He saw His children at the point of depression, God decided, I'll do something about it. I'm going to forecast about a Savior. I'm going to give them the word this day and time. He's not coming yet, but I'm going to give them the promise and the hope of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming to take away the sins of the world. And I thought about the forecast God gave of Jesus to His people for them to be encouraged and uplifted each and every day. He wanted them to see farther than tomorrow. God wanted them to see Father the next week or next month. He wanted to see the eternal picture. He wanted them to see how God was going to take care of all situations, all problems in the world. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus is coming back, Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings, and there'll be no opposition can stand before Him, and He's going to set things right. And we need to understand that God gives promise to us from way back, that He gave promise. These people probably discouraged. These people probably out of heart. They were struggling. You know, they had the enemies all around them. And God said, let me give them the forecast of a Savior. Let me tell them about my Son going to come into this world, and He's going to take up the fight, and He's going to take care of the problems that they face each and every day. I'm telling you, Jesus is our hope. I'm glad to stand here today and proclaim Jesus as a hope to all. No one exempted. A hope to all. In Isaiah chapter 42, if you'll turn there with me, as we understand and go through, and I see people dealing and putting up and having the problems of depression, and I think a lot of times of depression, I'm not a doctor, but I know when I come depressed a lot of times, it's because the immediate things around me. It's because I'm focused on something other than eternity. If you start looking for God's total plan and God's long range plan for us, that the Lord's coming back, we're going to have an eternal birth into heaven forever to be joyful and glad. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to be depressed and look at heaven, isn't it? It's just a hard thing to do. It's hard for me to be depressed and read God's Word. You know, if I start having a problem or depression, getting a little discouraged about things, pastors get discouraged every now and then. I was that way once. Well, at least, okay, I'm telling truth up here, you know, at least once. But you get thinking about it. But when I sit down and start reading God's Word and start seeing the promises that God has given us, it's hard to be discouraged. It's hard to be depressed. You know, I can go out of here discouraged and think, well, our number is kind of low. Well, this was wrong. Well, that didn't happen today. But I'm going to tell you, when we start looking about the promise and long-range plan that God gives to us, it's hard to be discouraged. I'm telling you, I can see kind of what this church is today. Let me tell you what, this church will stand in power one day when the Lord Jesus comes to take it out of here. Then it'll be powerful. All these people around that's had, bad thoughts and stuff about the church, they'll be impressed that day. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1, it said, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold." Now, he starts telling about Christ Jesus in the Old Testament. You know, we have the Old Testament, our schoolmaster to bring us into the New Testament, and a time that they needed encouraged. What does God do? He puts the word, he puts it in Isaiah's mouth and says, "Speak to them about my servant whom I uphold." And he starts telling them about Jesus. He starts talking about the Son of God going to be born to virgin birth to take care of the sins of the whole world. And I'm telling you, although they're looking ahead, they have not yet received it. They believe God. And so we need to have an understanding that we, the same as Old Testament people, need to believe God that there's better days coming than it is today. You might have got up this morning and thought, boy, it's a beautiful, glorious morning. There's better to come. It'll be brighter than this. In a perfect life. It goes a little farther. It said, "I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentile." Now, when he put his spirit on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. You know, it came down like a dove and lighted on him in one place, you know. And that spirit of God fell on him. And when Jesus was departed, he said, "And we send the Comforter." And he sent that same spirit that fell on the Lord Jesus. That same spirit is here present with us today. I'm glad to come into a church where you can feel the Spirit of God, aren't y'all? You know, I was talking to a lady during the last several days, and she was a member of their family back here. And I got we were sitting there talking about, she said, boy, when they started singing, and she's talking about Miss Helen's going away party. We had a party here. I had a party. Miss Helen's going away party. Amen. You know, she went to be with the Lord. And I can't cry over it. I can't be too sad over it because it was her desire, what she had asked for year after year. But after the party was over and the choir sang and we had the service, you know, and Brother Lynn brought a good message, and I thought, praise the Lord. And I'm just sitting rejoicing knowing the promise of God for Miss Helen. You know, she had received it. I've yet to receive it, but she received her promise. But down in the fellowship hall, during the lunchtime, one lady came by me, and she knew, I guess, who it was because I'd stood up here, and I didn't quite understand her beginning. She said, "I'm Church of God." Well, I'm Christian. I'm a son of God, and I don't have to label it by denomination. That kind of stuff don't really bother me, but I reckon she wanted to make a statement. She said, "I'm Church of God." She said, "But I hadn't felt that kind of spirit in the church in a long time." Praise God, you can still go to the Baptist church and feel the power and spirit of God. You know, we're not deleted from it, and I'm thankful for that. But she was talking about denomination, and I thought, well, I'm not that determined on denomination. But she said, when they started singing, she said, "I just wanted to have a shouting spell." And I said, "Well, sister, you ought to just help yourself," is all I can tell her. Just help yourself. I mean, it wouldn't have shocked nobody here that if the choir's singing and we're seeing Miss Helen off, you know, having a celebration party here, if she'd have had a shouting spell, so be it. But I want you to understand, she could look farther than today. And I started thinking about this last night when I studied the Scripture. That lady, now, denomination, I'm not into that. You know, that's not my thing. But she felt the Spirit and the power of God, and she said she could have a running spell and just have a shouting fit. And I got thinking, she is looking farther than today. Her focus wasn't on the casket. Her focus wasn't on what was going to happen the rest of the day. Her focus was on eternity. Praise the Lord. That we can look farther than today, tomorrow, next week, or next month, or even next year. That when God's plan comes into effect, then we'll shout. Then we'll praise God. And I'm thankful that He gives us that spirit of knowledge, understanding, and the spirit of truth that we can know it's true. We need to look farther than tomorrow. It's hard to be depressed and read God's Word. Verse 2 gives a description of Him. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause His voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall not He shall not break, and a smoking flax shall He not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And so we start finding out. You know, He wanted to encourage His people. He wanted to give them hope beyond tomorrow or next week. So He starts explaining and describing Jesus Christ to them. He talks about going to bring forth the judgment unto truth. Now, everybody loves the truth, right? Most everybody loves the truth. If it's against you, sometimes you just soon leave it there. But when He started making these promises, it said, He shall not fail nor be discouraged. I want you to notice this about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He shall not fail and He shall not be discouraged. And so we have an example, I mean a leader, and this leader is not ever discouraged. Thank God. You know, I see situations, you know, that people in power, people in leadership, when they get discouraged, it seems like it just trickles down through the whole group, through everybody. Discouragement is contagious. One gets discouraged, another one will get discouraged, and it'll go through everybody. Well, I'm going to tell you that our leader of this church is not discouraged. His name is Jesus, and He'll not fail. So if we get discouraged, it didn't come from Him. It didn't come from that leadership that God sent for us, the promise and hope of His only begotten Son, dying on the cross of Calvary, paying for our sin debt. Amen. And so let's get over it and get on with life. Having a hard day? So be it. Sun will come up again in the morning if God sees fit. It'll be a new day. And so when we read this about, you know, our descriptions, in verse 5 it said, Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. And so it's all God. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. He wants to encourage us. He wanted to encourage His people that day and time because He wanted them to stay faithful to Him as their God. Now notice this. You know, all through Old Testament, everywhere you read, you know, children of Israel, they'll be going along and they're walking the walk and talking the talk, and all of a sudden they're off out in left field somewhere. Amen. If you read Old Testament, it don't take them long. You know, they see the greatest miracles. God fed them manna, you know, by the millions. And no longer in their belly it digested, they'd turn away from God. You know, He showed them miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And He wanted them to be faithful to Him as the only true and just living God. He wanted them to stay faithful to that. And all of a sudden, they get discouraged a little bit. They are out in left field. They've turned away. They're chasing some other God. And God gives us His Word to encourage us to be faithful to Him. I'm telling you, the faithful Christians of this earth have got something on coming. Faithfulness is to profit. And so when we start looking, God did these things that they may stay faithful to Him. And I'm preaching today that you may stay faithful to God, because that's what matters in the long run. A lot of the stuff we do in this life don't make any difference at all, but being faithful does. It pays to be faithful. There's a treasure to be found by being faithful. There's great riches to be had by being faithful. In verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and will give thee for a covenant of the people, a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. In other words, He has set you free. every time I think about this prison stuff, you know, and these prisoners sitting inside, when they've served their term, when it's over, or when God says enough, and I think about the freedom that they experience. Can you imagine somebody been locked up maybe 4 or 5 years? I had a friend one time. I took him down and turned him into the sheriff's office after he was convicted. He went down and served about 4.5 years down in the prison down in South Georgia. And when it all began, when he got convicted, he got saved after he got in trouble. It brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got saved. He's faithful in church for a while, and then we had to turn him in. And he said, "Pastor, I want you to do something for him." He said, I know you do baptisms, you do weddings, you do funerals, you do sermons, you do this, you do that. He said, "I want you to be the one to take me down and turn me in the day I have to go away." And I thought, why me? You know, why me? I didn't ask him the question. I just did what he asked. And a lot of times we're that way with God. We say, why me? I don't think we're to question God about why me. Just do it. Just do it. Don't matter why me. I never ask him why me. Because it really didn't matter. He'd asked me to do that. He said, I know that's something you've probably never done. It's a new experience for me. You ever took a man convicted and take him down to the jailhouse and put him out and let him walk in and he's sending off, going off to prison? Going to be there, he's sentenced to 7 years. A new experience for me. I hadn't done that before. He is right. I'd done weddings and sermons and funerals and all these things, but turn somebody in. And he said, and to go with it, he said, the day I get out, I want you to pick me back up. Can you imagine that? He said, okay, I want you to take me down. You'll be the one to turn me in. He's already convicted. He had stood in front of the judge. I got tickled at what he told the judge. He said, I'm guilty. He said, I can't lie. I got saved. He said, I might lie and got out of this. He said, but I'm saved. And I said, I'm not going to lie. He said, I'd rather tell the truth and stay in jail than lie and sin before my Almighty God, you know, because he'd got fired up in it now. He'd got real in it. And he said, so I can't lie. He said, I'm guilty. He said, I just asked for mercy. And the judge sentenced him and told him when he'd go away. And he said, I'd like one thing I'd like to do. And he said, what's that? He said, I'd like to have one more day in church. He said, we don't get out early on Sunday night, so I can't turn in till Monday morning. The judge said, you got it. Looked at and told me that I'd be responsible to see he got there on Monday morning. I said, he'll be here. But a lot came of that. I saw 22 souls saved down in that prison because I was down visiting and did a revival down there. Saw 22 souls saved. He said that he wasn't arrested, he was rescued. And the day he got out of jail, we was there to pick him up. And I can remember him walking up, and we was watching the door for him to come out, and he came out a side door and came around, tapped on the vehicle. He was standing there, you know, and he was free. He had served his term and was free. So you think about this freedom that God gives. It said to open blind eyes. We've got people condemned and locked up all around us. I've got family members that's shackled by sin. They're in the prison. I'm talking about if they'll look to God, he'll set them free. Just a few more verses of Scripture. What's on my mind today is that God can do all things. In verse 53, chapter 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And it gives more description of him, and it all goes on farther and talks about. In verse 4, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, when we get into this, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. You know, there's a lot of times in life, you know, that I'll find myself, you know, I'm trying to work this out. I'm trying to take care of this myself. Bore our griefs, that I've come in grief. Do y'all ever get to a point of grief in your life? I mean, something saddens you or brings sorrow and all this. And it talks about he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. and sometimes I'm very sorrowful. But if we would look to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it said He'll do that for us. Now, He not only just paid my sin debt on the cross of Calvary, He's here each and every day that He can carry my grief and He can carry my sorrow if only I'll allow Him to do that. And He wants to. And so we have this Savior, we have this Son of God that's willing to take care of our problems and troubles and our griefs and our sorrow, but yet we want to carry them around with us. That's when we start being depressed, when we bring all that on ourselves. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what I'll get into the rest of the day. I'm not sure what I'll get into the rest of the week, but Jesus is going to get in it with me. Amen. And if you'll let Him, He'll get in it with you. You get in trouble. I've got Jesus in trouble a lot of times because where I'm at, He is. He handles it a lot better than I do. Amen. So we've got a Savior and we've got a hope to fight against depression, against being discouraged, because we've got greater view than just tomorrow or next week. God gives us a long-range view. He gives us an example, and God gives us hope through Jesus that we've got better days coming. It don't get nothing but better for me. Wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray and have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And I think about amazing things that God has done, the word that He's given us to encourage us, to uplift us, to let us be increased in faith and knowledge. I'm telling you, He encourages us to be faithful. All these things He was given to His chosen people, the children of God. And just the same, we receive them as the children of God for encouragement. That we continue to worship and praise Him. Don't put a God in front of Him. He don't like that. Don't put something else in front of Him. He don't like that. In Isaiah 55, in verse 6, it said, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." And this is the call for urgency that goes out in this land today, that God is still dealing with people. He's still convicting heart. He's still showing them and condemning them of their sins, that they may seek Him and change situations in their life. And so while we have the opportunity, that's when we need to come to God. We need to come to Jesus and see how things change in our life. It said, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Now, it's hard for me to read this and be discouraged, because God had just told me, and in His Word, He said, He told me about my thoughts, but He said He'd have mercy upon us. And He said He will abundantly pardon. Can you think about coming into this house and this place of worship today, and God has mercy on you, and God pardons you because you're on His mind. He knows everybody here by name. He knows the number of hairs on your head, regardless of the number. He knows all these things, and yet He pardons. And He has mercy. I'm glad to be on the mercy of God this morning. I'm glad to have that pardon of God this morning. Well, the devil took me out of here a while back. It don't please him for people to represent God. And as we look at this, it's in verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so our mind is not the same as God. He knows more than us. He's smarter than we are. He knows what's good for us. He knows what's not good for us. And He gives us choices to make. And as we come down to this, and we start thinking about it, I'm so glad this morning I stand up and tell you, this is guaranteed word. This is guaranteed word of God. Everything we bring, if it's the word of God, if we preach the word of God, it's guaranteed. In verse 11 it says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so it's guaranteed word. This will work. You got a little problem with coming up today, a little problem tomorrow, something you're having to deal with, let the Lord deal with it. If you'll just bring it down, if you want to come to this altar or right where you're at, say, Lord, I've got a little problem going on here. It's a lot to me, but it's nothing to you. If you'll take care of that, I'm just going to praise you for it and start praising God. Got a little something you're worried about tomorrow? Look farther than tomorrow. Look for at the long range picture where one day we'll be with the Lord forever in a heaven where there's no problems, no trouble. I know a lot of people get stressed out about work a lot of times. You know, job this, job that. That job won't last no way. Won't last anyway. Oh, by the way, they make jobs every day. They do. And God may have a plan for you other than that. So let's look farther. Let's look ahead. God tried to keep His people encouraged. He dropped back way back, years before Jesus. He said, let me tell them about the promise to come. The promise to come. Now, I could stand here today and tell you that we've received that promise already. The Lord Savior Jesus Christ, He's already been here. He's at the right hand of the Father. But we've got a great promise ahead of us still about eternal life and the resurrection and an eternity with God in heaven. Conversations. Y'all ever talk to anybody about anything? Anybody? Y'all ever talk? Melvin, I know you talk to people. I see it. I see it happen all the time. But you know, I know a lot of us have conversations. Have you ever noticed in this day and time, most of the time when you have a conversation with somebody, when you're just going to talk to them about a few minutes, you know, just to say, oh, Tommy, how you been doing today? And me and you are going to have a conversation about 5 minutes. You ever notice most of the time it's negative? If you're going to tell me something, you might start with the worst. I'm picking on Tommy. He's supposed to be able to take it. Have you ever walked up to somebody and the conversation starts out, well, yeah, I'm sick. Yeah, my family's tore up. Yeah, I've got this trouble. Oh, it's not going good at work. I hate my job. Why don't we be a church this whole week that makes a little difference, that when we have a conversation, let's let it be good. And next week, we'll come back and see what difference it made in our families, with our friends, with everybody we come in contact with. But we ain't got nothing to do. We're not going to gripe. We're not going to complain about government. We're not going to gripe about this. We're not going to tell them how bad we feel. We're going to smile. And we're going to tell them, if you can't tell them nothing else good, tell them, I've got a Savior. I've got a Savior. I've got a person that's with me all the time. And let's see how that works. Any of y'all ever been guilty of telling the bad end first? I am. I'm guilty. I don't know your mind. I don't know y'all's hearts, but I know where I've been. You know, something bad going on. I'm bad. I'm quick to tell that. I want to tell good things. Just, you know, just okay. This church group. You think, well, it ain't going to matter. Yeah, it will. I believe it'll make a difference. That we don't do anything but tell good things. And if they tell us, start talking to us about all the bad things, sometimes that's hard to get away from, isn't it? I've got pastor ears. I kind of hear what I want to hear. Or is that a man thing? I don't know. Good to have everybody come this way. I'm telling you, God's word encourages. God's word strengthens. Let's put our hope, let's put our trust in what God tells us through these holy scriptures and what He reveals to us through the Spirit. And so I appreciate everybody coming this way. Y'all stand. We'll have a verse for song. Anybody that needs to come and pray, you're welcome. Come and pray. While everybody's coming up this way, I'll remind you that most every Sunday night, we sit down and pick and sing a little bit just in praise and honor of God. Anybody that wants to is welcome to attend. You want to You want to sing with us. You want to play with us. Whatever. It don't matter. We've got people everywhere from, like myself, just beginners to knowledgeable musicians. So everybody's welcome for that. One verse for song. Anybody need to come pray, come on down.